Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafer, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In Ephesians chapter 6, and from verse 10 to 12, the scripture says to us, said, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The word power there is the word kratos. The word kratos there is the one of the four dimensions of God's power that refers to dominion over everything with specialization in the raising of dead. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, the dimension of his power that was deployed was kratos. That word, in the power of his might, the word power there is the word kratos. Dominion over everything. So, you can be strong in God's power over everything. Be strong. There's a level of strength you need, required. You have to build it. You have to build this level of strength. Satan is never going to tell you don't build your strength. It will just put you under a lot of intense pressure. You're going to be going through a lot of pressure personally in your space, and you will never attribute it to warfare. You will just think something is happening to you. It will make you think, oh, this thing is just something else. But you see, there's no coincidence in the spirit realm. How many of you think that you are, your prayer life has been almost destroyed, like you can't actually pray, even if you want to pray? Raise your hand. Like if you want to pray, God bless you, God bless you. Who else? Any other person? You really want to pray. You know you should be praying. But even if you took a seat and sat here alone, you can't pray. You just be... It's easier to pick your phone and browse than to sit and pray. Now, I'm not talking about somebody trying to develop the life of prayer. I'm talking about somebody who knows how to pray. But right now, you know what I'm saying? So you're under attack. You're under attack. And believe me, it's safe for you to know now that nobody is immune to this level of attack. Sometimes, even as a pastor, you can be struggling for 8 months to redeem your prayer life because it has been destroyed from the root. Whoa. When the devil goes to the root of a matter to attack and put a virus there, it doesn't matter what you are doing at the top. If you don't go back to the foundations, I'm saying if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That means the solution of this matter is even beyond the righteous man. You are going to watch the core of your spiritual life destroyed, decimated. Because when the enemy operates at this level, he operates at night. Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and sow tears. And it took his time. He didn't just sow one seed. Let me sow the seed of disappointment at the office. If she survives it, plants another seed. Somebody will break her heart. He plants another seed. She's going to have an accident. She will survive it. Plant. The devil will just take his time. So many. The devil is not expecting you to survive. So he plants a seed. It's not a one-man attack thing. No, here, plants it here, plants it there. So you just wonder, why is it like, am I the only one? No, you are the righteous. But the scripture says the righteous man is more excellent than his neighbor. Hallelujah. So there's an excellent spirit. That was the spirit at work in the life of Daniel that kept making him a victorious person. They kept coming for him and his friends. They kept right there. It's an excellent spirit. The spirit that purifies everything and brings out the gold. So if you are going through a lot of battle, it's because the righteous man is more excellent than his neighbor. And the only way to try that is tribulation. Tribulation. You don't know how strong you are until you are tested. Some people didn't go through half of what you went through, they've collapsed. But believe me, for whatever it's worth, if you find that you are unable to pray again, you are not going to be attacked. You have been attacked. you have been attacked. And the only way to come out of it is to be ruthless. Is to be what? You must be ruthless. You are going to be hard on yourself. If not, you can't pray. It's so easy now to just be busy. Alright? Because we are in a world now where you have to keep scaling. You have to keep getting better at what you do. Nobody has time for something that is coming tomorrow. What do you have now? The internet is flooded with new updates, new bug fixes. There are just things everywhere. No matter the niche you find yourself, there's always something new happening. So the pressure to scale and stay on top of what you are doing, if you are not careful, you will lose your cutting edge. And the scripture says when the edge is dull, more effort needs to be put into getting the job done. So the moment you find that you are beginning to struggle, you need to sharpen. Don't pray and say it's the devil. The moment you find that the edge is dull, declare a fast. Be strong in the Lord means that it is a deliberate posture. It is a decision that I must make to be strong. It is not the Lord that makes me strong in that sense. The Lord has made provision for what I need to be spiritually strong and able. But I must make a decision to be strong. I remember, I think it was the first time I was coming to Robin Bossa. So my wife and I, she tried to introduce me to some new things, you know. So he said we should be working out. So I decided to take up the challenge. So we are going for 12,000 steps. It felt like, oh, even from here to my gate is 10,000. Once I just walk there, we are back home. So she was wearing her wristwatch. Then I also downloaded one app like that, just to make it fun. So we went to the general hospital while trying to walk around. I saw a lot of young people. They were, you know, I said, this thing is fun though. Well, so my wife was like, I should walk fast. She has been doing it. Me, I just came. I said, this thing is not reading. The thing is not. He said, you have to, it's brisk walking. You have to walk fast. So try. Said, by the time we went around, just 1,000, I said, Percy go die here. And we are still going to 12,000. After, it's like the thing stopped reading. You know, the way that thing just calibrates and, you know, say, I made an appointment with Robin Bossa that I'll be there by 10 or 11. By the time we left General Hospital, I noticed that I had some severe pains in my thigh. So, but because I was working with her, we are working. By the time I got home, I just noticed I laid on the couch, three seater. I did like this. I didn't know what was happening to me. When caught shell, see me, but me, more. You know, something has happened to me. But you are not even aware something has happened to you. I just noticed I laid like this. My plan was to go and, you know, freshen up and then go to this. I just noticed I was there. I could not get up. Then he called me. He said, Alpha, you see coming? I said, yeah, that. You know, I didn't even know how to explain what was, because I've never done it before. Or rather, I've not done it like that before. So I just told myself, this thing is not for me. It's God that has good health. Wherever we live long, we live long. Then I said, no, you, now that you started, your muscles are adjusting. You must not stop. I said, did you see what happened to me yesterday? She didn't feel it because she has been like that, you know. So one day she called me from the office. I said, I'm working. I said, that's good. How many times? I said, like, sister, oh, wonderful. She was encouraging me. But you know the funny thing is that after like a few weeks, I wasn't feeling those pains anymore. So I became used to it. That's what it means to be strong. The moment you start, what will be fighting you will be from inside. Because you are used to comfort. Even though you read in the scripture that Jesus prayed at night, for you, why will I pray at night? I have to be at the office by 5. You are not as busy as Jesus. Because Jesus will heal the sick, still fight with Pharisees. and be shouting. They will shout. You know, because you are reading it in the book, you don't realize they were shouting. Say, you hypocrite. Who told you that this? You know, you can't say, call someone hypocrite and be saying it gently. Say, you hypocrite. So, because if you behave like gentle, they will creep you. They will pick you and they will not see you again. You son of Zebedee. You son of thunder. You have to, with an attitude. If you don't say son of thunder, say, that man is a jellyfish. He doesn't know how to fight. They must see. You are a carpenter for some reason. Now you have some muscles. You some of you looked at just like one person that cannot eat or that has not eaten for 3 years. No, for you to be a carpenter, you've carried plank. You've done. This work is not just spiritual. You need physical. You know, you have to be physically built for this ministry. Or you think it's for nothing that they say you should be a carpenter first. A carpenter in those days, they were builders. People who build houses. So it was a structural, is it structure, building engineer? Uh-huh. BSc or BTEC. Then you think it takes, Jesus went through many of those villages trekking. It takes a lot of build. Come on, are you here now? So everything you are going through now is the training. But if God tells you, you will not agree, so he will not leave you to be suffering. When you finally realize that it was changing, then your ministry will start. When they bash you at the office, insult your father, insult your mother, Monday morning, you're a thief. How much did you mobilize last week? Search the customer. We are not talking about effort, we want result. Stand up. Hello, what's your rank? Say, bank officer. You? AM? Stand back officer. So how much do you say? 300 million. Yes. What did you say you did? Say 20 million. Can you see you're a thief? If your mother was here, can you stand before and be saying this kind of rubbish? I'm not joking. No. Some of you don't know. You know, the world is a good place now. Now, even if you say anything, Gen Z's will camera video you and put it on Instagram for your destiny to be exposed. In those days when we were in the bank, you are even afraid. They'll wash you. You that you think you are something, they wash you. Just talk for nothing. Fine for you. You can't even talk. All those girls in VI, you can't even talk to them and mobilize just ordinary 300 million. Ordinary. Eh? If I can mobilize 300 million, will I be working here? Some of you know what I'm saying. If you have worked in a bank, they will shred you Monday morning. My colleague in his church, they were reading one book, Who Moved My Cheese or something. He said he was fired up. By the time he got to the office on Monday, the cheese had been moved. They shredded him. The guy came back to my desk. He said, it's like I'm not prepared for this job. I said, why? He said, I think we have been studying Who Moved My Cheese. I've been fired up. I said, this week I'm going to be on fire. I said, say we just got to the meeting. They shredded all the cheese, everything scattered. it's not motivational speaking we are talking about. We are talking about deposit. How much do you have? Bring the money. But while you are going through all of that, the Lord will be molding your character. You know, you've never believed that somebody can insult you and you will not respond. You've never believed it. Because you are a man of yourself. You don't take insult. I don't even like anybody. Once you mention my father, you will fight. There are some of you are very Christian. You are very Christianly, but when people insult you and say your father, your mother, you lose control. You understand? You lose control. And I'm not joking. I know what I'm talking about. Like you lose every sense of Christ. Because for you, you are like Chinese, you must defend your parents. You insult my master, I revenge. All those So when you go for an AGM meeting, a MPR, and you watch somebody who is not as attractive as you meeting his target or a target, then you look at yourself in the mirror, you begin to have a negative perception of yourself, like, so you are not even worth much. You know, these are conversations within your own soul, like, okay, 500 million. Please, let's celebrate him. 300 million. Oh, wonderful. This is the new boy. Oh,
what's that name? I said, oh, 50 million.
Wow, you do well. I from the day I saw you, I knew you would do well. Then they call you Oga. Say, oh, stand up. Say, actually, you know, we've been pursuing that letter of credit. Say, Oga, how much? Give us a figure. Say, actually, you know, the bill of lady in we are now trying to get a meeting with the MD of Globalcom, but we have been assured that this, oh God, even your president, when he wants to this, you say, I assure you. We don't want assurance. We tell us what is going on. You say, I assure you, for 8 years. Is this what you want to do with your life? And you are sitting in a meeting. You see, if God were to tell you, I want to work on your character, I want you to be strong in the Lord, you would have thought it was a prayer point. But for the Lord to build that resilience in you, he will throw you somewhere and tell Satan, train him for me. Train him. He's my guy. Oh, train him. Don't look at faith. Shred you. Have you ever been on your way to work and you were crying because you didn't want to face another day? Please. Oh, God bless you. Have you ever... MJ, did you raise your hand? I'm surprised. My wife is always smart. She always knows what to do. So if she's... That means my own case is hopeless. If my wife is... Have you ever felt like the job description did not match what you are doing? Okay, have you ever felt like coming to the office, like you always have to like think outside the box, learn something new on the go? Huh? Because what you did yesterday has gone. Today is another day. Have you ever been in a place where even though the job description did not match, you are not even permitted to say you can't do it? Okay, is that what you want, sir? Okay. Even when you are saying, is that what you want? You don't even know what you are going to do. But you have to tell them, don't worry. Then you go to the bedroom and you are crying. Like the video I saw about a guy who lied on his resume that he's a cloud computing engineer. They now gave him a senior role. He was sweating buckets, you know, like, because now he's looking at the codes. He doesn't even understand anything. Ping, pong, ping, tom, dot. After lying on your resume, they put in front of a giant computer. You just sweat. But this is how God trains us for character. You see that your boss, if you like, pray and fast, she will not die. She will not die. She will be getting promoted because of you to deal with you. Do you know how to survive that era, that season? Resting in the Lord. I was listening to a lady 2 days ago, and she was... Okay, no. It was a video. Yeah, it was on air, but I saw the clip. And the lady said she worked, you know, as a journalist, worked under a boss who was just 2 years her senior, age-wise. And the boss would shred her because she just came back from Leicester, you know, from the UK. So you come with that attitude, I will clip your wings. The woman told her, I said, I will clip your wings. But they are like in the same age bracket. Oh, Tommy, hey, madam, call me ma'am or madam. Ah. You are 28, I'm 30. Like, say, no, don't address me by my first name. Call me madam. Ah. She will go to the bathroom and whip buckets. I need this daily report by 5. I need a weekly report 6 p.m. on Friday. Not that, oh, wait, everybody's closing by 5. I need the report 6 p.m. So even when you prepare the report, wait for 6 p.m. before you send it. I don't have friends. It's just this job. Ha. This woman, if work is supposed to be like family. Eh? If we are working like family, how are we going to make money? Family is where we spend money. Ah, let's go out and chop life. That's family. But we need to make the money. So we can't do it by smiling. And that's why I don't do business with people I love. Because when it's time to make money, some people will be saying, I'm having a headache. Should I also remove the headache from the salary I want to pay? What's the meaning of this one? You have migraine. Well, okay, what do I have? Me, what do you think I have? If you have migraine, what do you think I have? And I'm here. A old man like you complaining that you have migraine. Oh, that's all playing with fire. But I'll sack you. Yeah? I'll sack you. Better, as I'm talking to you now, show up. Don't say you're a old man like you complaining of migraine. What are you doing? What are you thinking about? You better be as I give you 30 minutes. So. A man complaining of headache. A man complaining of headache. What do you think your president is complaining about? You are complaining of headache. You won't. You won't grow like this, oh. You will go and buy Panadol extra. Create one drawer in your office table. Put all those medicines there. What's wrong with you? Use this Panadol in the morning. Use the extra in the afternoon. Use the other. What's wrong with you? Think you become a man by flexing muscle? It's character. Be strong in the Lord. Because the anointing rests on character, on the strength, the capacity of your spirit to withstand pressure. When I got to Kenya, I realized that I was in trouble. Because they don't have amala. They don't have eba. They don't have gari. They don't have all the things that when we want to chop life, they are the things we go for. I told them to give me rice. And I don't eat salad. I don't like salad. I say, please, I just want plain rice, and I describe it. So that's fine, sir. You're going to get it. Just cost, it's going to cost me 30,000. 30,000 shillings just to eat rice. 30,000. 30,000. Don't ask me for the exchange rate, but that's 30,000. My taxi cab from Kampala, the airport at Kampala, was 140,000 shillings. I almost thought I was being swindled. 140,000. Like what? I thought Nigeria was finished. Nigeria, you are doing well, though. 140,000. 1 shilling is equals to 3,800. That's how destroyed that economy is. So if you go with 10 million naira to Uganda, they are going to give you 82 million shillings. You don't need to work for 1 year. Just be enjoying your life. You don't find generators. If they take light, everybody will sit down and wait for the light to come back. So you better enjoy your life. Those people that are trying to jackpa into Nigeria, you want to jackpa outside. You better stay here. Listen to me. I'm breaking it down like this. Because I want you to understand that the reason why many of you cannot pray is not because you don't have the desire. Eh? It's because you don't have the muscle for it. And that muscle is developed in activity. There is no, in quote, anointing to pray. You have to develop it. And when you notice that Satan is doing overtime on your case, then you must put away your phone, put away your laptop, put away everything. Go into a room that is not internet enabled. Shut the door. Give your wife the key from outside. And tell her, don't open this door until we hit 4 hours. No chair, no mattress. Pray or die. Because there are certain battles you will face. Simply saying in Jesus' name will not crack it. Because the altars upon which those problems are resting, they are blood sacrifices. So, just saying in Jesus' name from a careless tongue is not going to cut it. For whatever it is worth, Jesus prayed all through the night. For whatever it is worth, Jesus prayed 3 hours before going to the cross. If it was a walk in the park, he could have just said, I believe in the will of God. I'm ready to die for these people. I go. And he would have seen the crown of thorns and bring himself down from the cross and run into the bush. Because in fulfilling the will of God, there is a divine element that must be supplied. And that element is supplied in the place of sacrifice. Don't listen to those people telling you is works of the law.
that you should not pray, you should not fast. I only have one question for you. Did Jesus do it? That's all. If Jesus, our Lord, found a reason to fast for not just one day but 40, please, don't let them destroy your destiny. You get why? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4, quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 4, 3 and 4, I want to show you why what I'm saying to you is important. Are you there? But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Who is the gospel veiled from? Those who are perishing. And listen to me, this refers first of all to unbelievers. When you are sharing the gospel with someone and the person is resisting you, this is the reason why. He said, if our gospel is hid, it is veiled or hidden to those who are perishing. Give me the next verse. Whose what? Might. Did he say their spirits? Can you see where Satan is doing a number on many of us? The devil will only go to your mind and appeal to you. He says, whose mind, give me that scripture, whose minds the God of this age, the scripture recognizes somebody as the God of this age. I thought that when Jesus died, he took all the power from Satan. Didn't he take the power? So, how come somebody here is referred to as the God of this age? Do you know the word age? That word age means civilizations. That 15, 20 years ago, somebody, no Nigerian girl could dare stand in front of a camera unclad and video herself and put it there with 82,000, 100,000 likes. Who are the people liking these people? Their names are Christian. Their names are Emeka. Their names are Gbenga. Even the one not liking is still washed. Baba Yomi, Oluwa Yomi, Oluwa Sheun. Christian godly names are the ones. So how come somebody is able to be tutored by this entity called the God of civilizations? Please, I want you to pay attention, because this is the reason why many people are spiritually blind. He said he has blind, the God of this age has blinded. What is his ministry? To prevent you from seeing. So even though you know I should be praying, this thing that is going on in my family, we need to come together and fast. You know what you should do, but you are not willing to do it because the God of this world has blinded. You are not seeing the matter for what it is. When a family is under oppression and they are telling you it's a medical condition, sir, it is oppression. If something is spiritual, it is oppression. Doctors will give it whatever name they like. But you must be wise. Your eyes must be sharp enough to know that this is an activity of spirits. Give me that scripture. He said, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. There are things that we see now. We see now and we are just comfortable. We look at them, we laugh. But 20 years ago, nobody could do that. So Satan has progressively moved us from civilization to civilization to civilization to civilization. And one day, just wake up and realize that even that which we call Christianity must either conform or die. Because all Satan is trying to do now is to let you know that the age of the Bible has passed. And that you are only a fool if you decide to become a Christian. He said, who the God of this world has blinded, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe. Now, look at this particular phrase, who do not believe. What does that tell you? That when the word of God is being preached to you like this, and you interact with it at the peripheral level, but faith is not produced. It takes revelation to produce faith. It takes so when I'm sharing with you, your spirits must be traveling with me. You must be joining with me to see what I'm saying. Because it's only when you see it, you might have heard it, but it's only when you see it that faith is born. That which we call belief. Because the moment heaven knows and hell knows that you have heard, if the ingredient which should come out of that orange, that liquid is called faith. If that thing does not come out, then Satan receives a license to keep you blind. So you go to some people, pastor, Don't you think you should, this sister should say, Pastor, she has been fasting. They are doing everything that you would have recommended as a recipe. But the missing link is that the spiritual blindness. Because what Satan takes as a license to keep you in darkness is when he finds that you have not developed the faith for the revelation you are playing with. The moment faith to believe, for instance, if I say, if the scripture says, those who believe have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you can hear it every day. But that thing does not settle in your heart. So even though you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the moment ignorance has not been dispelled, Satan sits there and continues to control the narrative of your life and gives you the impression that you will never be free because certain issues have not been addressed directly proportional to ignorance. So that's why I said to you in the first service, when Satan wants to really deal with a person, especially in the area of warfare, there are two things he masters or pushes to that person. Number one is ignorance. What's the second thing? Deception. Satan will tell you, look, there's nothing wrong with you. But you know in your heart of heart that there's something wrong with you. Satan will try to tell you, look, you know what? All those things are ancient and modern. Nobody does them anymore. And, you know, he tries to... The moment Satan gets you into that spot, especially for those of us who like to talk to unspiritual people about our situation, unspiritual people with Christian names, you talk to them about your problem and they don't say, it doesn't matter, you know, it's everywhere. You may have a boss who doesn't believe in marriage but has 7 cats. And they come on your Zoom meeting or Teams meeting on Monday morning and they are crying that their cat is sick. And you are expected to show solidarity. Oh, so sorry. What's your cat's name? Sandy. Oh, Sandy, get well quick. Get well quick. Like in Nigeria, like where is this even coming from? Before COVID, did you ever see that happening? Because there's a God of this world. He uses major events to push civilizations. While all of you are shouting COVID, he was pushing civilizations. All of a sudden, all of us will wake up in the morning, join a meeting on Monday morning, 8 a.m. Oh, madam, you look so... Oh, Frank, you see, my cat has been sick for 3 days. Oh, no, I didn't sleep all through. You know, my cat is just like my baby, you know. So sorry. Cat that are in my village in Benin City. They are all witches and wizards. Cat is what we are talking about Monday morning. Very soon, in this same country, 2 years, 3 years from now, you'll be presented with more stupid things. And you'll be expected to say, oh, wow. Because the moment you don't say anything, it's not culturally diverse. It's not an inclusive person. And they mark you. It doesn't... His ability to work as a team. What does your cat being sick have anything to do with my being caring and loving? But it is how it is. They will present you with rubbish and you'll be expected to smile your way through. The same way when they now come, they will take the gospel and shred it. And because many of us are biblical illiterates, we don't really understand how the gospel came to be. Hey, I cannot believe a Bible or a book where it was written by a man. Yes. Yes. Is it Peter? Yes. And so what? Who is John? If it's truly the word of God, it must be written by God. It must be written by God. This is John. John is a man. Peter is a man. Paul is a man. Titus is a man. I say yes. And so what? Why am I not allowed to criticize your book? If you say you have the original copy from heaven, where is it? I don't think anybody is asking. The first book of the Quran was written several, not the year the man died, though. Several. And there were many copies with different verses. There was a man amongst them that decided to harmonize the book and burnt the other variations. But they don't tell you about it. If you are not a student of history, you will not know. If somebody decides to take the son of his, the wife of his son, and marries her, and says that's the way Allah directed him, You are expected to respect that. But they don't respect your faith. When you go for those meetings, they expect you to be inclusive. They don't respect the fact that your faith does not allow you to do certain things. And you do not even see that as warfare. I went to a bank and I had to challenge my wife. I said, every lady in that banking hall, when the bank ID card, they were all improperly dressed. And my wife said, that's the dressing of today. So how did you get here? Because the enemy at night sows seed. And when he sows the seed, you will not know what has been sown. 3 years later, you find yourself doing certain things. It's not today, it's 3 years ago. And those things grow quietly. They grow quietly. You suddenly find yourself gravitating towards certain things and certain people, and you do not understand that the warfare that we are talking about is the warfare of your mind. Because where Satan does transaction with is your mind. If you can keep your mind restrained from the light of the gospel, he has you. It doesn't matter how many tongues you speak. It doesn't matter how many videos you do. That's why people are always praying but never being free. Spiritual warfare is real. And you have to be ruthless if you want to be strong spiritually. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Genesis chapter 3, 14 and 15. Genesis chapter 3, 14 and 15. I want to show you the origin of spiritual warfare. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Next verse. And I will put what? Warfare. I will put enmity between you and the woman. That's the origin. So you cannot be wiser than God. In fact, if you are not trained for warfare, you have been captured. You have to be trained. Whether there is you are going through a problem or not, you have to be trained. Because when you get married, a day will come, your husband will wake up around 12 a.m. and he'll be shaking. He's sick. But he didn't plan for it. What do you do? A day will come. When I got married, when people say, I am on honeymoon, I'm enjoying my life. My wife came down with ulcer on our wedding night. She never had ulcer before. I didn't even see it. I didn't see it coming. I didn't have a car. It started in the middle of the night. You must be trained for warfare. It's not because of today when there is peace. It's because of tomorrow when there will be war. There are people who fly in planes, they can't sleep. Even if the flight is for 6 hours. That's how they open their eyes. Because something is telling them, this is how you will die and cross. So they watch Wakanda. They will watch even the kind of film they don't watch. High school movies, they watch. Because they've given you a headset and this is just be watching your destiny. You watch everything because you must, your eye, you can't imagine that you are on top of the clouds. If this thing just, let me open my eyes. While I was coming, the brother, one useless guy sitting beside me, I was trying to sleep. The guy woke me up and I thought it was for something serious. He said, oh, you have some bread on your... I said, is that why you woke me up? They gave me one small bread like something I can't even give to my son. They now put sausage inside. Is that why you woke me up? Hi. I've been at the airport since 10 p.m. My flight was 2 a.m. I had to sit all through the hour 12 hours. And now I got into a plane. Let me even sleep. Then you woke me up because of the bread, very angry looking bread. And I couldn't sleep again. So I started watching Batman and Superman. Only for the guy to take the pillow, put like, and he was snoring. I felt like sloppy. You woke me up, now you are sleeping. He was snoring. And while the thing was happening, the plane just dropped. Boom. The guy jumped up. I said, good. Good for you. The plane, I don't know, maybe it was the air pressure. It just, like a sharp drop. Poo. So I just, you know, unlocked the map on the screen. And I noticed there was actually a dive. You know, I don't know how they calculate those things. But maybe it's physics. There's supposed to be a dive. Then it takes off again. Once it takes that dive and takes off again, that's Lagos. Oh. But this was somewhere in Gabon or somewhere like that. The guy woke up. I said, good, let's be away together. Ororie. After waking me up, you want to sleep, you cannot. There's no sleep for the weekend. Look at this scripture. God was the one who introduced the idea of warfare alone. You will probably be enjoying. How many messages? You are preaching 30 minutes message. You now want to make me feel like a bad person. Okay. Anyway, I've been asked to come back to Kenya. So, if people want to be doing 1 1-hour service, 1 1-hour mass. The reality of spiritual warfare is such that if you know that you have seen a pattern in your life or you've seen it in your parents, you have the advantage to start early to begin to right those wrongs. It is not as if the Lord cannot take away those problems in a minute, but because those problems are established on different layers and different realms, some of it are established in the spirit realm in the name of altars. Some of them are now established in the soulish realm in the name of addictions. Some of them are established in the physical realm in the name of body sickness and disease. So you realize that even though Jesus has already taken away the curse, you now have to come to your soul. Why is this thing still standing here? Why is it still standing here? Then to answer that, you may need to travel back 15 years when somebody almost raped you. That is where the altar is. That's, instead of praying against this one, this is the one you need to dismantle. Because anything that subsists in the soulish realm, there's a legal position for that thing. So you have to go back and address that thing. Don't say, oh, I'm spiritually matured. Oga, go back 10 years ago. Then you will be praying from that position. Prayer is the ability given to a believer to go back in time and address pending issues. That is the only way a Christian can go back in time, through prayers. So when the scripture says, what? When the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? He can pray. He can pray. Do you know that what the scripture calls foundations can also be called altars? So if the altars are destroyed, which means the covenant that allowed that altar to stand has been tampered with, it has been broken. And what did Elijah do? The Bible said he repaired the altar. Before he prayed, he did what? He repaired the altar. He didn't just say, oh, because he was the one who brought the idea for the altar. Where's the God of it? The Bible says he repaired the altar. And he said buckets of water should be poured into. Now, what works against fire like water? But the scripture will later tell us in Ephesians that it is the water of the word of God. Which means everywhere you find real fire, the word of God is there. So if you want to recover your destiny, you cannot do it outside the word of God. If not, you will be a spiritist, not a Christian. It's not by somebody telling you what you have in your fridge, tell you the phone number of your husband or your wife. That's not what makes a person a prophet. Those are spiritists. You have to be able to do better than that to be a prophet. It's not by somebody calling you hope, and then you walk away because you are even surprised you are right. You know there's a way you prophesy. You are even shocked that you are right. You are mesmerized. You got to do better than that to be a prophet. Every time we put our lives on display, it's not because we like you to know our secret. It's because Saul was anointed from a flask. When Samuel was going to anoint, he used a flask. Flask is cosmetic. Flask is something refurbished. Some flask is something that has gone through chemical process. But when David was going to be anointed, he used a horn. Blood has been shed. Anybody who understands the secret of the anointing knows that it is that place where your heels, where Jacob's heels was separated, where his thighs were separated, and he had to limp. That is the real raw power of the anointing. That is where the real anointing is. When we put our lives on display, it's not because we want our secret to be there. It's because we know that when we put it there, we are able to reach down into raw power that comes for your deliverance. Speaking of that, Jacob prayed until his source of dependence, God was able to take it out of the way. He prayed to that point where God told him, if I don't help you, you cannot be helped. He prayed to that point where everything he had as a backup plan, he had to start limping on them and watching his mates, in quote, go ahead of him. But his name was changed. We don't know those guys again today, but we know Israel. Listen to me, it's just a matter of time. I'm saying this to you because some of you have been overeating. Throughout this message, I will talk to you about fasting and prayer. I'll talk to you about sitting down with the word of God. And please, make no mistake about it. Don't think it's not going to happen. You might have been captured already. Jesus was a man of the night. The one who sowed the seed is a man of the night. The one who planted tears was also a man of the night. The God of this world operates at night because he brings darkness to the souls of men. The only way to survive this is to be a man of the night. There are certain things that don't answer to sunlight. They answer to when nobody is there to disturb you. When you can actually turn off your phone and pray yourself through. When you are going to a new territory, don't just pack your bag and go into that place. The spirit of that place can swallow you. Some of you have never been to Port Harcourt in your life. You carried your bag from Lagos. You say, I've been transferred to Port Harcourt. You go there like my friend who went there and started having threesomes. Because the spirit of that place can lay hold on your soul and not let you go. My friend is a pastor in Christ, but he started drinking. Take himself, or not like, take himself to the club. Well, he's a very sound teacher of the word. Left there, you know, as a father. Wasn't married, but he left there as a father. So don't say, oh, it can't happen to me, it can't happen to me. You must, in spiritual affairs, you must understand how territories operate. When I got to Kenya, I see people are very humble here. If you see that everybody is very respectful, they are not really in quote money conscious. Then the Lord began to allow me to see something that this thing is not really humility. It's low self-esteem. That much of it. And I told them when I was sharing with them, I said, much of it here, some of you are actually humble, but it's because you have nothing. So I talked to some of them. So what's your IELTS educational qualification? No, I have a certificate in hotel management. I said, what's that? Say front desk. Specialization in front desk. I said, what does that mean? You mean receptionist? He said, yes. Don't you want to go further? Maybe. If I can. I was talking to one Elijah. And she was the only one I felt led to talk to anyway. Every other person, I was just having fun. But this somebody clothed in hijab from head to toe. You can't even lust against her. You can't lust after her. There's nothing to lust after. Even the fine face, the other things has toned it down. So I said to her, I said, I have this ability to know things that are not my business. Can I speak to you? Say yes. Then I started prophesying to her. And I didn't say Jesus. Then she looked at me. How do you know all these things? Then I said, in the year 1993, I had an experience and a man appeared to me and told me what my life would be in the future. And when he was going, I asked him, what's your name? And the man said, Jesus. And she raised her head. But you know, because I wasn't holding a Bible, she didn't see it coming. It was just a story. And I told her, He sent me to you. And she looked at me. Thank you. I said, I'm going to tell you this. The Lord told me in so space of time, you are going to leave this country, you are going to be in Canada. And I began to predict our future. And I said, the Lord said, whatever it takes, go back to school now. And I predicted our future well up to 20 years. And I told her, the key to this future is Jesus. You married early, but Jesus said He can still do something. Because when you get married in that kind of society, you can't do anything apart from your husband, especially within the context of that religion. But Jesus was able to get through to her. I'm standing here with a lady fully clothed in hijab, and I just shared the gospel with her. And I didn't go to the Bible. I only told her my story. How that Jesus is not a religious person. He came to me. He helped me. Even though I'm not perfect, but my journey has been somewhat progressive, no, even though slow. And when she was going, she said, your number is on this system, right? Because she was the one who attended to me. I said, yes, call me anytime. I said, and if you ever need someone to talk to, call me. I said, I will not see you again, most likely for a few years. But my number is on that computer. Use it. She was the only one I gave my number. I could have gone to her the traditional way, and I would have met with brick walls. But I went to her the way I was led. I simply used my gift to gain access into her soul. And then I told her, the owner of the gift sent me to her. At that point, she could not resist again. But do you know that the moment I began to share the gospel with her, she could no longer resist. And God made it so good. No client came in to the receptionist, you know, to the desk. Nobody did anything. We were just there for like 30 minutes. And I was talking to her. And she was receiving it. And she was receiving it. And she was receiving it. If she was the only one God sent me to Nairobi for, that would have been great. Because a seed has been sown. The God of this world blinded our mind. It was the gospel of Jesus that began to bring light. Bring light. You don't have to be religious, carry a big Bible to share the gospel to anyone. Tell them how Jesus transformed your life. That's all. I had some good time to read the Quran when I was over there. Online. Like read. Online. Read. And I realized that using the Quran alone, I can destroy the faith of a Muslim. With the Quran, not Bible. I will destroy your faith. You will walk away from Islam. Because Allah said in the Quran, He said, if you read the Quran, read the hadith. He said, that which is used by a man to procreate and to bring seed, to give birth to children, is at the back of his, around his spine. That's where semen is produced from. I didn't need to go too far. I just went to science. Where is semen produced from? Then I asked a Muslim, where is semen produced from? Then I asked you a question. If there's something Allah says, can Allah be wrong? Say no. Then I will give you three places in the scriptures where the Quran says the sun rises out of muddy waters. And I will show you in the Quran where the scripture says that semen is produced at the spine of a man's back. Then I will ask you, can Allah be wrong? Say no. Explain this. Then the moment you are unable to explain, say Allah works in mysterious ways. I say no. It doesn't work in mysterious ways. What has happened is that what they did was that they went to our Bible and they started reading it and misinterpreting it. And then they told us that we didn't have what it took to read their own document. and then we were veiled from those documents and we didn't understand what the book said. So we could not provide intelligent argument to whatever they were saying because they read our book, we didn't read theirs. And these days that we are coming into, you cannot be a Christian if you are not knowledgeable. Because science is going to come for us. Somebody stood in front of the camera and said, he has read the old Bible. There's no way the Bible speaks about homosexuality, against homosexuality. Stood in front of a camera. I said, I even speak in tongues. Yes, you may speak in tongues. But let us subject what you have said to the scripture. So that means we need to go back and love the book again. Because that book is the basis for the blueprint for spiritual warfare. Not 48 laws of power. The blueprint for spiritual warfare. If you don't get it, and you are going from place to place collecting prayer points. My brother, now that you are married, maybe the best time to lay a foundation, a spiritual foundation of prayer in your home. Are you listening to me? Because sometimes people are spiritual, when they get married they become carnal. But don't worry, your eye will soon clear. You become very carnal, as if you've never eaten before in your life. You want to eat everything, including food. Then you just wake up and realize that you have not been praying for 3 weeks. One small arrow brings you down. Go back. Some of you are leaving this place. Tomorrow you start fasting. Because you think by begging yourself you will become awake. No. The Bible says, awake, O sleeper. Awake! Does it command in Romans chapter 16? Also, awake! Sleep, you are sleeping. Wake! You will not be led to fast. You will decide to fast. The enemy is at the gate. We need strength to push them back. If you are married, go back home and partner with your husband. If you are engaged, call your fiancé or fiance or whatever you call yourself. Baby. All those things you tell yourself that a old man, baby, you as you are, baby, and then you wonder why you are weak. I'm not saying it's your name or call yourself whatever you like. I'm just telling you that think about it. Think about it. Our parents were called Baba Ayo, Baba this thing. And as long as they were called Baba this thing, they were responsible. How can a 40-year-old man like yourself be a baby? It's not a Bible doctrine. Call yourself whatever you like. I'm just telling you that when this thing you are cooking, when it gets done, we'll be here. I even understand some of the regular names, you know, if you want to call yourself a pet name, I mean. But I mean, it's your cup of tea, it's your baby. You understand? But one few weeks ago, I told my then, I told her, I say, baby. She say, you what? He say, never sweet for your mouth. It's okay, call me baby. I'm not. You can call me whatever you like. I'm just telling you that we are at war. Before they de-emasculate you and you become you stop being a man. Huh? Hear what I'm telling you. It started like this. Pastor Kumi, he warned us. 1980s, he warned us. Now he's justified. You need to get a big computer to watch porn. We need to now. Most people are bound to porn, but they don't. Nobody says it. Nobody says it. Just keep looking forward. Be looking straight. Most of us are addicted to one thing, or even more than one. But nobody is talking about it because the pastor is bound. Church members are bound. Everybody is bound. We are all bound, and we are just telling ourselves, "Don't worry. God is good. God is good." It's better we all bring it out so we can help ourselves. Because there's problem. The next layer of battle that will happen from inside. To happen from inside. And for whatever is what, my dear sister, Black China, Sister Black China. For whatever is what, I hope you know, there's nothing you want to tell her about the glories of this world. She's been related to the Kardashians. She's done everything to Abel. She now says she's following Christ now. That they should remove all the tattoos on her body. All the tattoos that were drawn under inspiration, mirroring demons. Some of those figures on her body. She now wants to... Now, I hope she's successful because her body has been painted with all kind of things. So, before, don't wait to become like her to find out. You may not be that lucky. She's lucky now. She's not. I think she's slightly below 40. But her life has been spent. Go online and look at her. She doesn't even look like... Jesus is not taking time to work on her. But people will say, we have come. No problem. But I'm telling you, Satan didn't come to this battle to shoot rubber bullets. Satan's covenant with himself is that he will bring every Christian down. You cannot have three slides on your WhatsApp status, on your status, and one is a scripture, the other is you being half naked, and the third is you at the club. And you are they are selling a narrative to us that good and evil can coexist. Yes, don't you have friends who post such things? Say, because I'm blessed. You post one scripture. The people who post scripture are not reading it. They just screen grabbed it and posted somewhere. So we must now work for the defense of the faith. That's why very soon I will start a midweek series on the defense of the gospel. So when you come, just take your popcorn and your five alive. It's going to be a bumpy ride. 3 days. Apologetics. Defense of the gospel. I will explain to you how to defend your gospel when unbelievers raise issues of the Bible to you. I will show you. A lot of people only know all those nice high fly things, emotional things, all those, this is my Bible. I'm going to put all that one aside. We'll open the Bible. How to defend the integrity of the scripture. We'll talk about. So that one, you won't come and hear there's somebody here. Because I've told you, it's Bible study, apologetics. But believe me, if you are here now and you can hear me, peradventure, this is a call to you to have a second look at what is going on in your life, then ask yourself, am I under attack? Do you know that there are certain problems that just by ignoring them, they fizzle away? That some of the battles you are facing, they are like a decoy. They want to distract you from the main thing that is going on. I assure you, before you bring anybody to your house, ask the Lord. The person may be your brother. It may be your sister. Ask the Lord, can this person come now? Things are happening. People are bringing demons into Christian homes. You give them an entire room because it's my brother-in-law. You don't know what is going on. They are importing demons. All of a sudden, you are like, something is wrong with the atmosphere. Hey, open your eyes. If the devil walks in here, can you see him? Your eyes have to be opened. Your atmosphere must be textured in a way that once something tampers with it, you must know. Go and condition your room, your atmosphere with specific types of worship. Many of the people you are, and I'm sorry that I'm saying this, I should just be telling you people you are, God bless you, God bless you. But maybe I came back with vengeance. You know, some of the so-called people you call Christian musicians, I'm talking about the very popular ones. They are not ministers of Christ. They are career musicians. You have to be selective. Some of those things they have waywardness in them. You know, you want to have a club spirit. Then you wonder why you are weak. How was Jesus able? If someone like Pastor Ayo that spoke into my life and prophesied about my future way back, all of a sudden Pastor is in prison like John the Baptist, and he sends Robin Baltimore, are you the Messiah? Or you people don't know John was the spiritual father of Jesus? Yes, sir. On earth. Yes, sir. That was the person that validated his ministry. Forget about the fact that Jesus was God, and it was John that was his spiritual father. Your spiritual father now says, Oga, I've been here. You didn't even come to check on me. You didn't. Are you the one? Now, you would, if Pastor Ayo were to say such to me, I would get emotional and start calling other people. Let's go and appeal to the government. Abi, let them release. Then I now stand up and say to him, the blind see, the lame walk. I'm giving a prophetic message to my own father. The lame walk. The dead are brought to life. Shikaba, la, ba, 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 ba. And blessed are those who shall not be offended in me. Wow. Wow. Let me die. You know it was after that thing he died.
Yes, sir.
There's his heart attack.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Every time Satan fails to bring you down, he will begin to apply the emotional pressure. If you are not in the spirit, you will not know what you need to do. You will cave in because you want to save face. You don't want them to misunderstand you, and then you get into trouble. If Jesus had gone there, he would have missed out on God's will. Because that would have been the opportunity to catch two birds with one stone. They'll just create the next room in the prison, throw him there.
Wow.
My assignment is not to save you.
Hey.
My assignment is to replace you.
Hey.
Say, for this John shall baptize with water, but this Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The authentic baptism of the New Testament is Holy Ghost and fire. Not just water. Water is ceremonial. This one is spiritual. The way John dips men in water, Jesus stands in the river of the spirit and dips you with fire. You go in unaware. You come at there's fire burning on your inside. You are praying like your fire is out. When he dips you in the fire, you come out fully encapsulated, prepared for war. You must refuse that weakness today. You must refuse that laziness. That thing that is making you comfortable and you are dying. You are suffocating. Yet you cannot speak out. You must refuse it today. You must be ruthless. Say, he would. Do you know how John did it? He will hold your head and hold your body and dip you. You come out wet. But when Jesus holds you and dips you, you come out burning. You come out burning. If you want to talk about the baptism, you come out burning. Say, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued. That's the baptism. That's the baptism. Paul went to a city. He said, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? They said, we only know John Baptist. He said, no. He said, John didn't baptize with what? With water. He said, but I baptize you with the Holy Ghost. All of them started prophesying and speaking in tongues. Why is it that when somebody prophesies in our midst, we are surprised? Because we have no fire. No fire. Why are we trying not to offend each other with the Bible? Because there's no fire. Why are we begging people to have a prayer life and it looks like we are talking about a difficult thing? No fire. How are you going to defeat a devil? A full-time devil. A full-time devil. When there's no fire. When there's no flame. It was the flame that changed Peter. It was the fire that gave him utterance. It was his fire, that fire that made his shadow become a tangible thing in the spirit, and he began to cure people. We must rise. We must become ruthless. We must make a decision. If you want to change your life, you've got to do something differently. Some of you are going to leave here, go back to your prayer altar. That prayer altar has gathered dust. Some of all these things I'm saying, I don't need to say them if you're on fire. Because your spirit will restrict you. It will not allow you. It will not allow you. Where's the fire? You can't be in the spirit. You can't be a spiritual person and not talk about the fire. I've seen drummers who minister, and the glory of God descends.
is the Lord will use any willing vessel. I'm telling you. Do you think when Daniel sits at the conference meeting with the head of, what was that guy, the Nebuchadnezzar, do you think he was quoting scriptures, but was distilling the wisdom of God? There was something about him that made him exempt. There was something about him. When they threw him into that hole, he came back and said, the first thing the king said, are your gods able? Oh, because the gods of Babylon cannot do this one. Daniel was thrown there as a sacrifice. You don't realize it was a sacrifice because it was an affront that nobody except the king could do certain things. And Daniel said, I beg to differ. So it was a sacrifice. It was presented as a sacrifice to their gods. As a sacrifice to their gods for violation. But only the God of the Bible, of the Israel, could come and say, don't die. Don't die. I want you to, don't try to develop a prayer life again. Start praying. Some of you are wasting time. Oh God, I'm sorry for what I did. Hey, stop. It's enough. We have heard you. Start praying. Because sin will prevent you from praying. If you are able to bypass that emotional pressure and you start praying in the spirit. Turn off your phone. Satan is smart. Your best friend will call you. He's smart. You won't be able to resist. Your boss will call you. Turn off your phone. What I say to you, I'm saying to myself. So please don't, I'm not preaching at you. If you want to grow, you must be ruthless. Because comfort is the burial ground for champions. You just be there. Only when you die, you now realize, oh, this is what I would have been. A few weeks ago when the film Enoch came out, I was watching it. I was weeping because I just realized when even the man was made the general overseer, he was even confused. He didn't have any fire on his head, suggesting that it will be anything like this. That's why you got to realize that every time God speaks about you, he speaks from the future. The version of you God is talking to is not this one. It's the one in the future that became all that God wanted. So when God says you can do it, it's not a motivational statement. He has seen you in the future that you did it. Oh, when I listened to the voice note of that man and he said, wherever this church will be seen, say you will hear hallelujah. Now you now realize that when Baba said let's all, it was a response to a prophetic word. You didn't know. You don't know why people do what they do. That's got to be your secret. If not for that movie, many of us would not have known that man only responded to the note left to him by a spiritual father. Wherever this, so when he said, let somebody. Now, between early 1980s and 2023, we can all look back and say, oh, prophecy fulfilled. But the church they were using was a dilapidated structure. That church could not even gather 50 people. They were frustrated and tired and broke and poor. But the man saw something. Do you know God is seeing something about you? Do you know that your life is beyond this country? Do you know that your destiny is beyond whatever it is you are seeing now? Do you know there's a global element to your destiny? And that even though you are not there now, God has seen it and he has spoken it. And his words will not return until they have been fulfilled. It is on the strength of that knowledge and revelation that we will rise and we'll begin to pray. Then we'll take his word again based on what he has said. If he said this, I believe. So based on that, I stand. I am not there yet, but I've seen something. I begin to walk towards it. And even when I feel like I cannot continue, I move again. I would rather die failing forward than going back to where I'm coming from. Why? Because I have found the prophecy, the word that was spoken before I was born. That prophecy predated even the man who gave the prophecy. He predated that King Dayomi. That prophecy was something the Lord saw. That in the, that in the future, the Christian faith will need to take a giant leap, and we need a man. We need a man that is calm, that can be a custodian of raw power, and yet calm. And they chose him. A man that was not sure of himself. A man that had to pastor people who taught him Sunday school and Bible study, and people who baptized him by water. He had to be humble enough to be the GO. Something is glorious about your destiny, and you've got to see it. If you don't see it, you won't be able to rise. You won't become rootless. You will keep relating to everything based on as they are happening. No, you've got to see the big picture. When I was sharing a story with Tobe and a few of us at Lekki, and I said this, and I laid the country. I have a very dear friend who lived in K2, and I used to stay with him when I came to Lagos for the first time. Apostle Sam. Kenny, you know him. He's been here to preach at the other church. And because of foundational issue, his church was destroyed. If you don't deal with foundational issue, it can destroy your ministry. Nobody needs to be praying more like a pastor. Because your foundation can fight you. Yes. You have to be in the spirit. This brother labored. I even preached in his church. One day he called me and said, I want to hand over this church to you. I was not a pastor. He said, I'm tired. I want to hand over this church to you. I said, no. I mean, she's a pastor. Friend Jack Banyo. He offered me the church at Ogudu. I said, He had to close the church down because of the pressure that was coming against him. He suffered before he married. Then he got to the U.S. He moved to the U.S. with 2 years visa or so. He didn't want to come back. Started preaching in the U.S. Started preaching. Later, immigration caught up with him. I'm just trying to summarize. I know the U.S. immigration, they are very tough. They will blacklist you forever. Even in the book of life, your name will be removed. I'm not joking. Those home office people, don't get into their trap. They deny me my visa because I removed their prime minister. So don't even play. They are not playing. They took this man of God to court. Do you know what he was doing? In the last 5 years, he has been in the U.S. Shabada, praying at night. Because God told him, if you stop praying, you are going. You are going back to Nigeria. Say, if you stop praying for one day. One day like this. One night. No, I mean one night. Because he prays at night. One night. Game over. You have malaria. Stay there. Sir, Pastor, I can't pray. My body is hot. Yeah. Hey. But do you know the funny thing? While I was staying with him here, do you know he never gave me food? It's always prayer. While he was at K2 praying overnight, he never knew a day would come, his life would depend on it. He thought he was praying because he had a church here. He didn't know that a great travail was coming into his life that would compel him to be praying at night every day for 5 years. See, these people are not in the Bible. They are people around like us. Because now, just by the judge feeling on otherwise, he will send him back. It's not a question of, they are looking for him. They have caught him. It's just to put him in a plane with his wife and drop here at Lagos. Then he will come. He come and pick me at the international airport. Then he will use the old day to tell me the sad story. The day they were going to have the final hearing, he called his wife the day before. He said, the Lord told me, may your ears be open. Amen. You see, you've got to be able to hear God beyond the noise. People say they hear God, but what you are hearing is like what Bill Gates is saying. You need to be able to hear God beyond what Bill Gates is saying. He said, God told me. Oh my God. He said, God told me that if this court sitting sits tomorrow, we'll be sent back. That I must pray that the court must not sit. That God said he must pray. God didn't say he has done it. God said you must pray. Come on, are you with me? Come on, say, I will not be lazy. Come on, say, I receive the spirit of prayer. Come on, say, I'm possessed by the spirit of prayer. I want you to declare it like a prophet. I'm filled with the spirit of prayer. He said, God told him. He said, if this court sits tomorrow, you are going back with your wife and your children. Your wife said, He said, so no sleep this night. And the way he prays, he said, Benin man, he prays with energy. When I see people like that that pray, I don't understand. You know, you Yoruba people, I don't know, maybe it's a laziness thing. I really don't, you know. He said he prayed all through the night. They called them because it was going to be an online session. All the prosecutor, everybody log in. The judge was in his office at the court, the high court or whatever. He logged in. So they decided doing that online thing because of COVID. So he logged in from his house on Zoom. The court sitting started. You know, God said this court must not sit. That if it sits, it's going home. And the judge said that today he wants to rule. That means give his judgment. So the meeting started. All of a sudden, he had an inspiration. Mute your mic. He muted his mic. Shaki Patusa! Power went off in the courtroom. Power outage. Bra, 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 bra. Everybody ran out of the court. The same prayer, the same tongues that we are all speaking. Somebody used it to dismantle an entire court. God said you must do something. God didn't. So God was depending on him to use his authority. So when God said if you don't pray, if you don't do something, you will go home. Come on, somebody listening to me. It's not God, it's you. The guy said he muted his mic, so they didn't hear. Kapatu Zadabra. He said, just notice, light went off in the courtroom. The lawyer too was out. Only him and his lawyer remained in the meeting. Then somebody sent a mail. Sorry, we currently have a power outage in the old property, so give us 2 hours. After 2 hours, they called. This court cannot sit again. We'll call you back. The same tongue. So somebody said, I need compulsory to speak in tongues. Hear this one. Some people might be faking it. You get the authentic one. Few days later, they called them. Oh, we are so sorry. We are ready to sit now. Do you know that between the day the power went out, and the new court, the new date, the judge was sitting in his house. Do you remember that massacre at Owo that happened last year? Was it a bomb blast on a Catholic church? That was the week the thing happened. The judge sat down at home eating his popcorn, was watching CNN. Then they showed that video clip. And the judge now said, this is what that man of God was saying, that Nigeria is not safe for pastors. That was his argument all through when the case started. But they didn't believe him. So this time lag was when somebody bombed the war. I told him, I said, go and be buying cow for all the Catholic churches in Nigeria, because they are the ones that save your life. You understand what I'm saying? So the judge was there. You know, it's just like coincidence. But it's actually divine stance. You just sit and you are watching something going on live in Owo. The man thought, the judge thought Owo and Lagos, they are like the same street. It's just like when you hear Mississippi, you hear Fort Knox, you say, okay, maybe it's the same, the next street. But these places are like 10 hours away from each other. The man did not know Owo. He's in Ondo State and it's different from Lagos. You know, based on the document of the guy in front of him. The guy just, this is what that man of God, okay. The day the court met next, the judge just said, I don't want to hear anything from the prosecutor. I don't want to hear anything from anybody. I'm here with my decision. You are to be given a 10-year visa and you become a citizen in 4 years. That may not make sense to you after praying for 5 hours every night for 5 years. Excuse me. Everybody knew the ruling. He was supposed to go back. The judge didn't say stay. He said, I'm giving you and your family 10-year visa to become citizens in 4. Then that was when the brother started looking for my number. He sent me messages on Facebook. I don't go there again. So he found an old number. Ah, Apostle Sam. He said, man of God, ethic back, baby me. Like, I've forgotten you. I said, no. You're in America, I'm in Nigeria. Our destiny is different. The guy said, he just asked me one question. Do you still believe in the power of God? Are you still a man of prayer? I said, yes. He said, good. Say, you are coming to the U.S. Say, you are coming. Say, now, I have my papers. I can invite anybody. Our church is in Texas. Say, you are coming to preach next year. I said, hey. He said, because when I was going through that travel, I thought of all my friends in Nigeria. All of them, they were always preaching motivational messages. Say, you are the only one I could remember that used to talk about prayer. Say, do you still preach prayer? I said, I have not changed. Say, good. Say, because I will need friends now. When he shared his testimony with me, you see, all my doubt. So I say, okay. So even the tongues I speak can disable electricity. Oh. But remember what God said to him. If you don't do something, you are going home. That is what Satan wants to rob you of. The real you that is known in the spirit realm. He wants to rob you of that when you spend your time on Instagram watching dancing Salomes. Refuse. You must refuse to be captured. You must recover your masculinity. You must recover your destiny. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Certain things are only delivered in strength. Certain things, when you start praying and do certain, it will not matter. Give it some time. If it was that night the Lord said to him, pray, he would not be able to pray all through the night because he's not used to it. The judgment was set aside because he prayed. God did not speak to him when he was praying. It was when they got to the court that he just said, mute your mic, speak in thought. It came like a thought. And the moment he obeyed, light went off everywhere. God bought some time only to present the judge with new evidence. This one, I sent him here. He must stay. The judge might have done what he did before his eye will clear, but he has stamped it. Don't let Satan cheat you. I said, don't let Satan cheat you. If you get it from the realms of prayer, it can only be sustained in the realms of prayer. Don't let Satan cheat you. Don't be lazy. Don't listen to people who tell you to forsake your spiritual discipline. You must refuse it. This is how you recover lost territories. Don't go in like somebody who is careless. Go in like a spiritual man. Raise an altar. Raise up. Every time Abraham doubted, he kept raising altars. He kept raising altars. He kept raising altars. He didn't allow, even when he was doubting, he kept raising altars. Kept raising altars. And kept praying. Intercession. I don't know how it happened. But he kept raising it. Kept sowing his seed. Kept doing everything. It was impossible for Isaac to be wayward. Yes, sir. The sacrifice on his head is too much. Yes, it's impossible. Yes, it's impossible for you to be wayward. Yes, when you are expecting your child, begin to raise altars for them. Not when they come to this world. Raise altars. The Bible says, liver pay tight. While in the loins of Abraham, pay tight for your child, unborn child. Pay it. It's a token. It may not be the amount. The Bible said they were looking for a day to honor people. And the book of remembrance was opened and they found the name of Esther's uncle, Mordecai. But that was something they have done and forgotten. Keep sowing your seed. The day they opened the book, listen, and I just say this, let me tell you, you must even get to the point where you will hear God to give offering. Huh? When I got to Kenya, the Lord said to me, he said, today you are going to give the highest offering you have ever given your entire life. Your entire life. Huh? And the Lord said, you must do it with a smile on your face. Listen. Satan didn't get here shooting blank bullets. Jesus didn't bring us this far without shedding his blood. We will not win this war without sacrifice. Don't let anybody deceive you. The first beneficiary is the person who set up that altar. Marriages are failing. People are claiming human rights. That is the period you want to get married and you are carnal. No. You must raise altars for your home. If your parents marry the second and the third wife, you must not allow it. You have to raise altars of prayer and fastings. And prayer and fasting. If there's no graduate in your family, you must raise altars. It may not be a big deal for some people, but for your family it's a big deal because nobody has ever been a university degree holder. Yeah. I was telling my wife yesterday, for the second time last year, I got an offer again from I got a mail from London School of Business that they are awarding me a honorary doctorate degree in business. So I was asking my wife, God is in our money. You understand? Our money. Whoever nominated me should have been kind enough to send me half of the money. You understand? Because it's in thousands. But I have been in this place struggling to go to school. Nobody ever offered me anything. See, everything is time. Everything is time. A day will come. You will not think about what's in your account. Any of your accounts, there's money there. Sow your seed now. Be faithful to the Lord. Let the Lord see the emblem of your faithfulness as consistent as the day. You may be weak spiritually, but you must never justify sin. Be struggling. Have the cigarette in your mind. Be struggling. God, this cigarette is what will kill me. But never stand before people and say it's not bad. Say, I need deliverance. I'm a Christian, but this is the only problem in my life. Be honest so that God can save you. The moment you start justifying, the altars against you become very fortified. Some of you are here. You will leave this place tomorrow. You go straight into fasting. Shall you see how slim I am? Go straight into fasting. We are going to compete. But I assure you, the Lord has not asked the sons of Jacob to seek him in vain. He will come for you. I say we'll come for you. I say we'll come for you. Do you believe this morning? 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 It will come for you. It will not leave your soul in hell. It will come for you. It will come for you. It will come for you.